Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960. And it's time for Keeping Up with the Cougars, brought to you by DentalProsOfUtah.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studios. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. It is time for, yes, another Keeping Up with the Cougar segment. This time it's going to be brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. If you want to get in on the game, right, truly in on the game and get into the minutia, every nooks and crannies, and win some money while you're doing it, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. If you love fantasy sports, you're going to love Underdog Fantasy. It's the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. And March Madness is here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. College basketball pick 'em is the fastest way to get in on the action. So all you got to do, download the app or go to the website. If you're making a bracket for the NCAA tournament this week, you can add some extra sweat, a little something to the game by playing college basketball pick 'em on Underdog Fantasy's website or app. Pick 'em game. Pick whether your favorite player will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's March Madness games of your choice for a chance to win big. Up to 20 times your money in a single night. And you can utilize that ESPN 960 promo code, and you're going to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's $100 back in your pocket to be able to distribute for all of your high-low pick'ems. So check it out today, Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports. Let's get out to the hotline and welcome in a former BYU Cougar. March Madness is here, and we have to celebrate an NCAA record today. Like, we're talking how we'd build our best starting five of former BYU Cougars. This guy was a part of that particular conversation, so he'll be a part of the conversation here. But also, we got to celebrate a NCAA tournament record. What was the deficit? 20? 25?
25 points.
25 points down to Iona in the second half. And BYU basketball is led by the left-handed Jimmer, Matt Carlino, to victory, along with Brock Zylstra. Got to give some credit to Brock Zylstra as well. Let's welcome in former BYU great Matt Carlino to the show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Doing good, man. How the heck are you? Give us updates. How are things going for your the beginning of March Madness? How's your bracket?
Oh, bracket is already busted. No, it's it's going good. It's so awesome. This is the best time of year. And I just love I watch the games all season, but it's just so interesting how it shakes out towards the end here.
It is crazy. Unfortunately, U of A's ruined everybody's bracket. Found it very interesting. I just tweeted this out. Princeton doesn't have any NIL deals, nor do they have scholarships, and I wonder what everyone's thinking right now. Maybe we don't need as much NIL money as we thought we did. Maybe we don't need scholarships. Shoot, look at Princeton. How are they attracting the talent and the coaching that they got going on there to knock off U of A? But March Madness is upon us. Pretty crazy. Now, Matt, want to get up to date on everything that you're doing. Give us an update. Where you living? How's the family? Where you're working? All the things.
Yeah, my wife and I, we're in Arizona right now. I am working for a family construction company called Nance Construction. And I am also looking about getting back into coaching. So doing that now, but kind of reaching out to some people in college and NBA and just doing that. So we'll see whatever the Lord has in store for me, whatever his plans are. That's what I'm going to go with. And just super blessed to be where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to hear that. Like, it sounds like obviously you came off of your professional career. You got into coaching, now dabbled in the business world. Got to still scratch that itch, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've been out of it now 2 years. I was a graduate assistant at TCU, and yeah, it's definitely an itch. I mean, I had been in basketball my whole life since as long as I can remember. So it was nice the first year to kind of have a different kind of life with some weekends and just some normalcy. But I really miss the relationships, and I miss just competing in basketball. And so, yeah, looking to get back into it.
Love it.
Matt, having been a grad assistant at TCU, what can you tell us about the Big 12 in basketball? I mean, we know from the outside looking in,
it's going to be tough.
That it's going to be tough. But what are some maybe details that about traveling in that conference and playing in that conference can you help us out with?
Yeah, it's obviously you guys said it. It's I believe it's the toughest conference in the country, and I played in the Big East, which is also considered one of the toughest conferences in the country, but I think I'd have to give the nod to the Big 12. Just every game is just really tough, and you know, you're playing in really hostile environments every night. But for the Cougars, I think I've been telling people, I think it'll be good that there's a healthy fear. I think there should be a healthy fear for BYU and the fans. I think when I went into to BYU and we were just transitioning to the WCC, and I think there was, just from my point of view at that time, we had a little bit of an arrogance going into the WCC, kind of seemed like a little bit of a downgrade. So I think it'll be helpful for BYU going to the Big 12 and kind of having what I like to say, like that healthy fear of, you know, wanting to compete at a higher level.
Love that. Now, there needs to be a swagger, but also a fear and a sense of urgency about how you go about your business. This is high-level basketball. You got to win. You got to win now. You got to compete. You got to compete now. You got to get after it in the gym. Be a gym rat if you want to compete at the highest of levels. We got Matt Carlino, former BYU great basketball player, here on ESPN 960. We've seen BYU basketball have had its ups and downs over the last, you know, the last decade of West Coast Conference play, and there's been times in which BYU's made it to the NCAA tournament, one and done. Other times in which they've made it to the NIT and gone deep. How would you describe BYU basketball over the last decade, Matt?
Yeah, it has been some ups and downs. I mean, you know, when I came into it, they were just, when my redshirt year was coming off, Jimmer Mania, and that was like peak BYU, and it was amazing. And then we got into the WCC, and I think from riding that wave of Jimmer Mania, we kind of, we had a lot of success. I mean, I played with the, you know, NCAA career leader in triple doubles, the BYU all-time leading scorer. I played with a couple of guys, Mika and Davies, who both played in the NBA. I played with a lot of really good players. And that was just naming a few. Played with Charles Abuo, who's the all-time all-time wins leader. So I played with just a bunch of amazing teammates. But then, you know, I think COVID was weird too, because that team was really good the year, that COVID year, and then they didn't get to participate in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So, and then this year obviously was disappointing for Cougar fans, but, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of good players come through, and, you know, it's been fun, and hopefully, like I said, the Big 12 will attract better players, because it's just a higher level of competition.
Hey, Matt, I'm sure I'm like a lot of BYU fans and spent some time either this week or earlier today even, watching the BYU comeback against Iona in the NCAA tournament when you were playing for the Cougars. What can you tell us about your recollection of that 25-point comeback?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, I think I'm on the show. I tweeted out because that was just one of my greatest basketball memories ever. Mm. You know, 25 points, I tell people that, and they're like, that's crazy. But
yeah,
the biggest thing that I remember about that is actually the preface to the game. So I was talking with a guy named Kelly Peters, who he now works in the NBA, works for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he was doing like the pregame work for Steve Kerr, who called that game. And I remember he was texting me, just trying to get little insights and tidbits on our team beforehand for Steve Kerr. And I remember very vividly, he texted me and he said, if you try to run with them, they're going to kill you. And I was looking at the text and I was like, what is he talking about? That's what we do. Like, if they try to run with us, that's going to be a problem for them. And I remember like just being at halftime and we were just getting blown out. And I was like, man, he wasn't joking. And then I think our endurance and just like, we just kept with it, and that's just, we didn't stop. We just played and played, and it was just it was almost like a blur, because when you're coming back from that big of a deficit, and then I think we ended up winning by like 6 points even. It wasn't even close. It didn't even, like, it was crazy. But that's what I remember most about that game.
Well, and the President of the United States was at the previous game. I think the Prime Minister of England was there too. But they left before your game started.
Yeah, I remember we were having trouble getting into the arena because they were trying to get Barack Obama out of the arena, which is really funny.
Crazy times.
And one of the things I noticed watching this game, Matt, was defensively, I mean, they got a lot of shots to fall early in the game, but I think that your team's length ended up bothering them when you made your comeback. I think Noah's length. I think your length on the guard line a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, Brock was a pretty good defender. I think all those guys kind of combined to kind of slow down their role, and that's where you guys kind of turned it around, was defensively.
Yeah, and we were deep too. I think I remember DeMarcus Harrison had a really good game.
He did. That's
that
right.
Game. Yeah, and I mean, we were just like, we had a lot of guys. We had just a bunch of guys who could on any given night you know, step up. And I think that's also something that was special about all the teams that I played on. We had just a bunch of guys who, whenever they were called on, they could step up, and, you know, they never knew when it was their turn, but when it was, they were ready. And that was one of those nights.
Indeed it was a magical, a maddening night for Iona, right, after being up 25. We got Matt Carlino here on ESPN 960 reflecting on March Madness, reflecting on his time at BYU. Matt, I got to bring it up, man. Long ago, you decided to leave Brigham after having some success there. You know, a great career at BYU. I think as far as assists are concerned, I think you're like in top five. Had you come back that year, you may have been the all-time assist leader in BYU basketball history. Phenomenal shooter, phenomenal facilitator. You end up at Marquette. Do you ever look back and wonder what could have been at BYU the following year? Because I sure do. Give me your thoughts on this.
You know, not really. I don't. It was at that point in my life, my time had run its course, I felt like. I loved my teammates. I actually had lunch not that long ago here in Arizona with Josh Sharp.
Nice.
And we just kind of talked about the good old days, and I have so much love for all those guys, and but at the same time, it was kind of just time for me to move on. It was just time. I guess that's the best way to describe it. And I try not to look backwards. And I never had any ill will towards the team. I always wanted them to do well. And I know as a Cougar fan, maybe some of them, you might be in the minority, Ben. Some of them might have wondered what could have been if I would have stayed. But for me personally, I never really looked back.
No, I feel you. Like, I think it's important not to, you know, reflect too harshly and look back at the past and maybe some of the past opportunities. But I've made the argument many times on our show that BYU basketball needed an additional ball handler that year. They needed an additional point guard, right? I think in their final game that season, if I'm not mistaken, it was against Ole Miss in the NCAA tournament. I believe if Matt Carlino's on that roster, we come out victorious. Because guess what? We had like a 17-point lead at halftime before turnovers got us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. There was a ton of good players on that team. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of this, in the tournament, it's just so funny how things shake out. It's just so unpredictable. I wish in the time that I did have there, we could have gone farther. I think my junior year, it was a huge blow when Kyle Collinsworth went down in the conference tournament.
Yep.
Josh and I had talked about that game as well because we should have beat Oregon. I have a good story. I don't know if you have time, but
yeah.
We should have beat Oregon earlier in the year. And then we ended up playing him in the tournament. But that game against Oregon during the regular season, we had just lost to Utah before, and it was probably the toughest practice of all time after that it was a bad loss. But I want to say if we had a little bit more legs in that Oregon game, I think we would have beat them then, and I think we would have beat them if we would have had Kyle as well. Would have been a different story. So that was a bummer.
That's a tough thing. Injuries can derail a magical season like that. A guy's talented as KC that handles and distributes and can get to the rim, get to the free throw line, play great defense. They're not a dime a dozen. They're tough to come by, no doubt.
Yeah, Matt, I wanted to get your perspective on the transfer portal. I mean, obviously, when you transferred in your career, things were very different. What are your thoughts on how the freedom of a player to move on has changed so dramatically in college basketball?
I think it's gotten a little out of hand. I think it is good that these guys can get an opportunity to leave and go elsewhere. And also for, you know, programs to be able to rebuild quickly. I do believe it's gotten a little out of hand. I mean, I see guys, everyone always says like, I was like the guy who played at like four different places because I was committed to Indiana. And then I went to UCLA, but I mean, shoot, I only actually played at BYU and Marquette. I see guys now that they're like, oh, he's now on his fourth school and he's played at all four schools. And I'm like, how did this even happen? But I think it's good. I mean, coaches can leave. I think it's good that players are able to, you know, have the freedom to be able to go where they want. I feel bad personally for a lot of the high school kids, though. I think that they're really feeling the blunt of this, and I don't necessarily agree. I think you need to build a program thinking guys are going to be there and be part of a program. I think it's really hard to just rebuild every year.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a mixed bag, but I think it's gotten out of hand. But I do think it's nice that they don't have to make up fake stories anymore about how they're moving schools and trying to get an NCAA exemption. At least they have just, they can just leave and go somewhere else.
Yeah, it is a little bit volatile. It is difficult to navigate it as a coach. I think it's also difficult to navigate it as a player, though. When you have opportunities to go to a pasture that seems greener, it's pretty enticing, especially with NIL being involved as much as it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unique. It doesn't always work out, though. Thing like when I left from UCLA and went to BYU, you don't, now you see a little bit more of it, but it used to be like if you were transferring from a school, it was because you couldn't really play there and you wanted to, you know, downgrade where you were going. But now you see a lot of the like trying to transfer up. And I think it's just, it has changed a lot. It's a totally different dynamic.
Matt Carlino here on ESPN 960, getting an update on him, what he's doing. You mentioned that you're looking to possibly get into coaching. Would you ever consider coming back to BYU and becoming a coach here?
I get asked that from time to time, from people when I do talk about coaching. You know, I feel like I do know BYU really well. I know the Big 12 very well. You know, I love Coach Pope, and if there was an opportunity, I would definitely be open to it. I think that I could be helpful in many ways, but, you know, he seems to have a good staff there, and I know they're doing good things. But I'm always rooting for Coach Pope and those guys. And Cody was with us. Cody Feger was with us as well when I was there. Mm-hmm. So, personally, I think I still got some helping in me for the Cougars, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Would you come back? Would it have to be kind of a full-time coaching gig, or would you take, I don't know all the different positions that are available now at BYU or even within the NCAA, like analyst, grad assistant. I don't know, like, would it have to be coaching, or could there be another job opening that's not necessarily like full-time coach?
Yeah, I don't even know that too. Every program has their different things that they have. You know, some programs have like 9 guys on staff, and you know, not all of them can be on the floor. But I've tried to help out Coach Pope as much as I can. I mean, when Alex Barcelo was going through the transfer transferring process, I put Coach Pope in touch with really the guy that I believe kind of got Alex. And obviously Alex made his own decision, and I don't know him too well. But I think I helped facilitate him getting to BYU, and I always, whenever I come across a guy who I think might have interest or BYU might have interest in them, I always try to help out Coach. So just giving the name to the guy or whatever. So I'm always trying to help behind the scenes as much as I can, but obviously you can help more when you're there.
No doubt about it. Matt Carlino on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Matt, it's been fun catching up with you. Glad you're doing well. Can't wait to see where your career takes you. Always love talking ball with you as well. My final question for you is this, and I'm trying to find it on the interwebs right now. One of my favorite plays all time from Matt Carlino is where you pulled up from like the free throw line, and it looked like you were going to go in and like just like tomahawk dunk over somebody. Do you remember this? Was it versus like Sean Kemp Jr. or something like that? I can't remember. Do you remember what I'm talking about? Where you're like cocking it back? Who was that against?
Yeah, that was Sean Kemp Jr. And the funny one about that is I remember telling Ants and Winder in warm-ups of that game that I was like, I'm going to try to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr. because it's Sean Kemp Jr. And they got the perfect photo of an absolutely failed attempt. And it was brilliant. It was great.
Oh man. Yeah, like so you this was, it seemed like it was premeditated, I'll be honest. Like you know, so that is valid. It was premeditated. You were planning on dunking on or trying to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr.
Yeah, I remember telling Anson in warmups, I said I remember seeing Sean Kemp Jr. I said, I gotta try to dunk on Sean Kemp Jr. because it's Sean Kemp Jr. And I mean, the photo is just epic. I don't know where it is.
I just found it. I'm posting this thing.
Yeah, it's great. So I probably looked at Anson right after it too, like, and he probably laughed, knowing just being a knucklehead.
Love it, man. Oh shoot. What was your favorite memory of being a BYU Cougar? Your favorite memory? Was it the Iona game? Was it a different situation? Was it trying to dunk over Sean Kemp? Give it to me.
Man, I have so many great memories. I loved my teammates so much at BYU. I guess selfishly one of my favorite memories is going into the Portland game, my last ever game. I knew that was going to be my last ever game in the Marriott Center. And it was a nice game. I mean, I had a dunk. I had, you know, some points. And it was just a nice send-off for me knowing, like, that was going to be my last game there. So that was a special memory to me because, I mean, I haven't been back. I don't even think I've been back in the Marriott Center since. So that was like my goodbye to the Marriott Center, and that was a nice moment.
Love that, man. Great reminiscing with you, Matt. We appreciate you. Let us know if we can do anything for you. We'd love to see you in Cougar Blue once again coaching up as they go into the Big 12. We'd love to have you, man. Thanks so much for hopping on today, brother.
All right, Ben. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Matt Carlino, ladies and gentlemen. Double D, any thoughts?
Great guest. Really interesting talking to Matt Carlino. And the thing about, you know, he's talking about trying to get back into coaching.
Yeah.
The NCAA has approved for college basketball programs to have two more assistant coaches in the building on the bench, but not out recruiting. We talked to Mark Pope about that today, and he said more or less that's going to be an internal sort of move where guys they already have on staff are going to be designated differently.
Sure.
But that's probably not the case everywhere. So hopefully Matt can get an opportunity to get back on the bench and coach it up and share some of the knowledge that he's developed over the course of his career. But it was a great talking to Matt.
No doubt. What was your favorite memory of Matt when he was playing? You got one?
You know, I'm thinking about, and I probably would have to go back, see if I could find it, but he had a game, it might have been against St. Mary's, where he just went off. Just was like, it was crazy that he was able to, and let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm going to look that up. But he was such an explosive player offensively, left-handed,
yeah,
which I love, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking for it. But
no, you're okay.
There is.
Yeah, I mean, he had some great games. I don't know what his career game was, but it may have been that particular game. Was it his junior season?
Let's see.
He went off that game versus Portland went off for 30. That was in February 2022. That was a great game. He had 28 versus Pacific that junior year. Portland went off for 25 as well. 21 versus Wichita State early in the season. He had some great games, man.
Yeah, 28 against Santa Clara in a game. That was in a loss. No, that was in a win, sorry. 10 for 17.
So was it his sophomore season?
I don't know.
St. Mary's?
I'm just trying to recall. It just seems like I know they won at St. Mary's, but he only had 4 points in that game, so that's not the one I was thinking of. But just an exciting player to watch with a lot of ability and get up and very aggressive as an offensive player. Just
no doubt.
I'm taking my wax here as a shooter, and he did some great things for the Cougars while he was here, and he didn't really want to talk about why he left specifically, other than it was time to move on. I did want to mention that he did say several times, I really loved my teammates. Mm-hmm. Didn't have much to say about the coaching staff, so you can read into that whatever you want. But, you know, he was, like he said, he started at Indiana, went to UCLA, didn't play at either of those places, then ended up playing for BYU and was an all-conference player at Marquette as well. So a good career for Matt Carlino.
We'll go to break coming up next. What's cooking with the Cougars? This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's rush hour, and you're heading home after a long day. Now the question becomes, what are you going to pick up for dinner? Ben Criddle tells you what you should pick up and also gives you the latest news that's cooking with BYU Sports in What's Cooking with the Cougars here on ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studio. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. It is time for What's Cooking with the Cougars, always brought to you by Fat Daddy's, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Pizza is always perfect for just about any occasion, family time, tailgates, watch party celebrations, and more. How about March Madness? But only Fat Daddy's has the one-of-a-kind 24-inch size Fat Daddy's Pizza, so you should always go there for all your watch parties and March Madness get-togethers. Two locations now, Provo and Orem. That's right, 223 West Center Street in Provo, 93 South State Street in Orem. Now offering gelato at both locations. Mention ESPN 960 for 8 free garlic knots. It's always pizza made right, New York City style. Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Double D, your favorite pizza at Fat Daddy's.
Favorite pizza at Fat Daddy's is the Wise Guy.
Wise guy, eh?
All meat pizza. Gotta love it.
Yes, indeed. Gotta love it. Do you love it? I love it. I got it at Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. All right, news and notes of the day. What do we have? What do we got? Where are we? All right, let's get into it. So, in the midst of spring football, what are the main storylines coming out of spring football thus far, would you say?
I would say the comments, for me, it's been the comments by the offensive players about facing a new defense. I think that's really important to the development of the offense to see something different. And it's all of them, and I think Brandon Gurney may have commented about this in his Twitter, pretty much everybody you talk to in the offense says they're more aggressive, and that's what they're aiming for. So the implementation of the new defense, I think there's some development among the receivers, guys that are having to step up because of the loss of a really good one to the NFL, probably, in Puka Nacua. Those are a couple of things that I've noticed. And some guys that we talked about moving from linebacker or from safety to linebacker, both Ammon Hanneman and Isaiah Glasker have made plays that I've seen. The times I've watched practice, those guys are making plays.
Roaming around, head on a swivel, making plays. The storylines that we've brought up obviously are one of the centered on the defense. Everyone's concerned about the defense, right? BYU fans' biggest concern is defense. We know it's going to be more aggressive. We know we're going to play maybe more 40 front. We've seen a lot of 4-2-5. We've seen 4-3-4. That's what we've been seeing as far as the defense is concerned, and we brought more pressure, and that's great. That's grand. I would still say every practice that I've watched, the offense is beating up on the defense. The defense is still a long ways away from where it needs to be.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious right now, which is typical of what you would expect of a team that's breaking in a whole new defense.
Yes, yes, indeed. Cool stuff that happened yesterday. Austin Colley was in attendance coaching up wide receivers. How pivotal, how impactful could Austin Colley be if he's going to be delegating a little bit of time to coaching up the wide receiver room?
That's awesome. I mean, that's the kind of feedback that you're really going to crave and want and internalize if you're a receiver, because that guy's done it all. Led BYU in receiving, played in the NFL with Peyton freaking Manning. He knows his stuff. And he's from a football family, obviously. His dad played for BYU. His brother played for BYU. Mm-hmm. Two brothers played for BYU, actually.
Yep.
So Austin's a guy with a wealth of knowledge that if he's willing to share it, that's great for those receivers.
Yeah, how impactful? Extremely impactful. Austin has so much experience, has so much to share. He's passionate about the game. I would love to see him around the program more often. He's local. I believe he lives in just in Salt Lake County, but like right on the edge of Salt Lake County, Utah County. So he's close enough. He can make an impact. Alan, I'd love to see him make an impact. I'll put it out there for Cougar Nation to chime in on. We'd love to hear from you. But as far as things that are also of concern, QB2, Cade Fennigan versus Jake Retzlaff. We didn't get to see Jake Retzlaff yesterday. We saw a bevy of Cade Fennigan, and we saw some Nick Billups as well.
Yeah, Jake Retzlaff is still having issues with the tonsillitis that he was going through. There's been some infection that he's had to kind of go back and forth with. So he's not had an opportunity really to get any regular work. So that's, again, a benefit for Cade Fennigan to show what he can do.
Yeah, Cade taking advantage of his opportunities. Who are going to be our primary pass rushers this year? Like, just outside of the defense, let's not talk scheme here. Let's just talk pass rushers. Who are our guys? Who are the elite pass rushers that we're going to rely on?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a collection of guys, like some of the newer guys, and hopefully some of the guys who have been in the program for a while are going to benefit from this new defense. Mm-hmm. And display that ability. I think they went out and got Isaiah Banya because that's the kind of guy he is, mm-hmm. right? I really like Tyler Batty's a returner who has shown some ability to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Michael Daly, you know, we could talk a lot about John Henry Daly, who was a dominant player. Michael was pretty dominant himself. I think he had over 20 sacks as a senior. He might be a guy that could go in there. Ice Moa, I think, is somebody they like in a rushing position, a rush end sort of thing. So those are some of the guys I'm thinking about.
Bryce, I do want to play a little soundbite here. This was – so BYU social media does this every now and again. They'll video record the players coming into the IPF or coming out to practice, and they'll have a question. This particular question was, what player should fans watch during spring ball? Now, some of these are just – off the cuff, they're around a particular player, so they give them a shout-out. But some of these are actually on point of who you should be watching out for. So let's listen in. Bryce, you tell me when you're ready to roll with this particular soundbite. This is who you should be on the lookout for per BYU football players.
Players should fans watch for during spring ball?
Best punter in the nation.
Our quarterback, there's a bunch of them. A lot of new defense guys.
They should watch me.
Eddie.
They should watch me.
The Kafusis, you already know.
Jika. I'll say Morgan Piper, playing a new position, running back, maybe.
I'll say Enoch, because they're not gone.
Probably everybody. Hobbs Nyberg, that dude was making plays on Monday.
My guy Eddie.
Max Tooley.
The GOAT.
It's Kafusi, it's Kafusi.
Tyler Batty, 92.
Man. Mike Samaje, 62.
Man. Michael Harper.
You gotta watch him.
All of us.
Watch Soldier. Look for Soldier.
All right. Besides me, the new transfer, coming to make a lot of moves.
Zay Tequila.
Eddie Hecker.
Tanner Wall.
This guy.
New face around town.
Isaiah Banya. Watch out for him. He's a menace.
He's a menace. Big 1-3.
Okay, so there's some gems there. Number one, I'll say I got to give a shout out to Hobbs Nyberg. He's a good punt returner. I believe he needs a little bit more love. He makes plays consistently. He gets looks. He just continually scores touchdowns. Every practice that we're at, he's receiving a touchdown. Someone's targeting him. Quarterbacks like him. Somehow he's getting open. He's 5'10", 195 pounds. He's probably a low 4'5 to mid 4'5, and he's strong. He's fast, physical, reliable. He just keeps on showing up. And when you keep showing up, eventually coaches give you an opportunity to be in the rotation. At the end, you heard Isaiah Banya. Zay, he's supposed to be your pass rusher. He's supposed to be your guy. Yes, Tyler Batty is solid. John Nelson is very good, too. I like me some John, especially on that interior line now being a defensive tackle. He's going to make some moves. I like Nysa, and he was mentioned, too. He's had a good offseason. He's finally healthy, it seems, and so that's good news. Like he was really good a few seasons ago when he was healthy and splitting double teams. So I thought that was interesting. But Isaiah needs to be watched. Eddie Hecker does need to be watched. He's a really good football player. My player comp for him has been and will continue to be Dion Gunwoluku. In fact, I bet you if you ask the question to Jay Hill, you know, who the player comp is, I wouldn't be surprised if he said a Dion.
That'd be a great poll if you could do that. We need to ask him.
You ask him.
Okay, next time.
I guarantee you, because there are very few players that have come through BYU, and you probably have to say, like, who's the former BYU player that reminds you of Eddie Hecker that we could compare him to? There's Dewey Gray and Dion Gunwoluku.
Yeah.
He can't pull
physical corners like that.
Well, that could play safety too. Yeah. Like at 5'10", 5'11", that's what they are. Yeah. That's who Dion is. Dion could have been a safety, should have been a safety at BYU, more than likely, right? But the NFL is looking for 6'1" and above and running 4.4s. That's what they're looking for, 4.5s, unless you're just a playmaking phenom. But that's who I'd compare him to. So definitely got to look out for him. Anybody else that stood out to you from the players chiming in on who to look out for? Was it too much? There's a lot of
noise.
There's
a lot going on there. Hobbs got mentioned, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And Hobbs is a great story, a former BYU baseball player who really was primed to play baseball, but football called him. Football called mm-hmm. him, and he really chose that and has done well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So there's a few guys that were mentioned in the spring ball practices. Gavin, did you want to chime in on this? Some of the commentary you've seen down there at spring ball? Get your mic in front of you. Anything you'd like to chime in on?
Kind of just what we talked about, the aggressiveness. We heard a lot about it from Chase Roberts, and I thought that was really interesting. We saw the energy during the 20-minute observation we got, so that was awesome. And then, yeah, it was just interesting delving into how Ben Bywater was talking about the linebacker room. I'm excited to see how that emerges over the course of spring
football. I love
football.
Chase talking about why he changed it to 27 is not a wide receiver number.
Yeah.
Two is good. And then they go 1, Keanu, 2, yeah. Chase, mm-hmm. 3.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. I like it. I like it. I love it. It was a dominant performance from the offense in this practice, the last practice we were at. Offense scored touchdowns. Yeah. I like Slovis on the quarterback keep. I think he's a little bit more athletic than advertised. Cade Fennigan also totes for a touchdown, sprinting to the pylon. Talon Alfrey thinks he would have got him. I don't know. Cade Fennigan ran the ball quite well. Looks good.
Last week on Friday when I went to practice, the first thing we saw when we walked in
mm-hmm.
was Keaton Slovis sprinting to the sideline.
Yeah,
that dude was motoring.
As a wide receiver.
Yeah, he was motoring. He can move.
We won't tell you who was running the football or who was in a Taysom-like formation.
Ooh.
The secret weapon could be in the back.
Yeah.
And it's Sonny in the backfield with him.
Anyway, like you said, I think he's probably – I mean, he's maybe not as athletic as some of BYU's quarterbacks have been before that have stood out that way, like Taysom.
Mm.
Or like Jaron, but he can move. He's a good athlete.
Moving and grooving, definitely. I don't think, like I said, when I first watched his film, when I was looking at the Pitt film and then his some of his USC film, I didn't go back to his true freshman film at USC. Didn't really watch that, but I compared him to a more athletic Josh Rosen. I was like, yeah, he's got more scoot than Josh, and he's got a pretty live arm like Josh. So that was my player comp. And then I said for a BYU comp, a very healthy, strong, and mentally confident Tanner Mangum. Like when Tanner was at his peak, like that's who he, like the way he spun it when he was healthy, you know, all those things. Like the best form of Tanner Mangum, and some people are like, oh, that's not a good comp. I'm like, that's what kind of Keaton initially reminded me of. Now he could be much better, but remember, Tanner's freshman year went 9-4. And threw for over 3,000 yards. Okay, so, and he completed almost, I think he completed like 62, 63% of his passes. And he was like 20 touchdowns to like 4 or 5 INTs, or 20 and 7. It was a good touchdown to INT ratio as a true freshman, by the way. So combine like Tanner's maturity as a senior, but his health as a true freshman, how he was. You remember that Boise State throw when he's rolling to his right for the first touchdown? He threw it 65 yards. On the run,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That arm of Keaton Slovis with much more with the maturity of Tanner as a senior, I would say. Anyway, that's my player comp.
Okay.
My player comps. Anyway, Austin Colley, as I mentioned, was practiced yesterday. Chime in on how impactful Austin Colley could be as a coach. I also saw Lance Reynolds Jr. there, the former BYU offensive lineman, the coach at Orem High School. His son, I think it's Lance Reynolds Jr.
The third.
Yeah. Lance Reynolds Jr.
He kind of dropped the third. I think he wants to just be Lance Reynolds.
Yeah.
But he's a really good basketball player as well, and Orem got to the semifinals this year. I talked to Lance the third after they won that quarterfinal game, and Lance Jr. was there. Lance Sr. was there. They're all supporting him. Lance Reynolds, the player, he's a quarterback at Orem High. He's also athletic enough to play receiver. In fact, he did play a lot of receiver when they had a couple of quarterbacks. They had one guy move in. He's now at Utah State. I can't remember his name right now. It's a big Polynesian name. Anyhow, Lance is a good athlete and can play multiple positions. So if it's not quarterback that he gets at BYU, he's definitely athletic enough to play some receiver, some slot, and things like that.
Yeah. He got an offer. He was at practice, got an offer. Kalani gave him an offer to, I think he's a part of the 2024 class, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. Yeah, he's a junior this year, so 24.
Yeah, so there's three quarterbacks right now that I would say are hot topics. Lance Reynolds III, Isaac Wilson, and Luke Moga. All three really good athletes, really good quarterbacks. So we'll see how that's a star-studded cast. I mean, whichever guy you get, you're going to be happy with it. Isaac Wilson definitely getting courted by a number of big-time schools, as is Luke Moga. He's had a ton of offers come his way. And now Lance Reynolds picking up some solid offers. So we'll see what happens there. Luke Moga was actually in attendance. Did I say that? He was in attendance at the BYU practice as well. So, and he's had an offer for a while now. So there you go. There's some news and notes from spring ball. After a great talk, as I mentioned, Lance Reynolds III got an offer. After a great talk with Coach Satake, I'm excited to announce I've been offered by BYU. Thanks for my friends and family that have helped me get to this point. Go Cougs. Have you ever shook the hand of Lance Reynolds Jr. III?
I did.
All right.
At the state tournament. Yeah.
Okay.
It developed my entire hand.
Yeah.
Next time...
This may seem weird, but really evaluate his hand and then take a look at his thumb. He's got the longest thumb. These are Lance Reynolds Sr., so one of the greatest offensive linemen ever, right, to come through Brigham. He has paws. Like, these are, how could I describe them?
Giant appendages?
giant elongated appendages. And he's got thumbs that are as long as my middle finger. Like, that's how long Lance Reynolds Sr.'s thumbs are.
Okay.
And Lance Reynolds Jr. got Grandpa's thumb. The third did. I don't know if Lance Reynolds Jr. did. But, he's got these long thumbs. So when he gets measured pinky to thumb, which the pro NFL combine and pro days always measure. I mean, he's going to come in at probably 10 and a half inches, which is massive. The two most important fingers, I would say, are your middle finger, how long your middle finger is for a quarterback. It's not necessarily the pinky, and how long your thumb is, right? Because you're enveloping it like this. Think of that like you're throwing a cone-shaped football. What's most important? It's getting your middle finger on the threads, and then wrapping your thumb around the bottom of the ball, and then you kind of taper everything else. Are you measuring yourself now?
I'm measuring my thumb to my middle finger, and I'm about an inch short, it looks like. Maybe not quite, maybe 3/4 of an inch short.
Your middle finger is as long as Lance Reynolds Jr.'s thumb.
That's crazy.
That's how long that
thing
is. Anyway. Big 12. The Big 12 and NFL partner to launch Big 12 Pro Day in 2024, a reimagined Pro Day experience with the state-of-the-art medical and player skill assessment designed to maximize the student-athlete prospect experience. Good, bad, ugly, what do you think about this?
I kind of like having it nearby, and I think that BYU and most schools feel like they can showcase their program a little easier when it's just them. But it'll be interesting to see how this all progresses and where it is. And I'm sure the pro scouts are happy to go see a ton of players in one spot. less travel.
Yeah, yeah. I still think the pro days of the individual universities should continue, especially for the lower profile guys.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Hope they do.
Sure, sure.
But for the higher profile players, awesome if they want to do it. The thing is, I don't know if the guys that participated in the combine, I don't know if they go to these Big 12 pro days. It may, like, if Puka, Blake, and who else was there? Goodness gracious. Puka, Blake, and Jaren.
Jaren.
Do they go to the Big 12 pro day? Do they do anything there? Maybe they show up, but do they really test? Do they throw? Does Jaren throw? I don't know. Like, what more can Blake Freeland do? Nothing. What is he going to do? Do a workout? Do some bag drills?
Flex?
Look good? So, we'll see how it plays out, but I really hope that the players that can actually take advantage of a pro day, a traditional pro day, are still featured. We need that. It's important. I remember when Les Brown came from the basketball courts of Westminster, Braden Brown's brother. Did you hear about this? 6'5", 250, basketball player, runs a 4'5". Miami Dolphins pick him up. Almost makes the 53-man roster. Les becomes pretty good close friends with Rich Incognito, my buddy, out there in Miami. And Les was a few spots away from making the 53-man. They just didn't want to take on the project, but loved his freakish athleticism, thought maybe, possibly. That's the great thing about football. You can bring in a Ziggy Ansah and develop him, like, late. You don't need all that experience playing tackle football necessarily. If you're a freak, most of us that are good, even great athletes, we probably need a little bit of time playing football. But you can still start late. Cougars in the pros. Aaron Rodgers announced on the Pat McAfee show that he intends to play for the Jets. Both the Jets and the Packers are still negotiating a trade, per Rich Simini. Green Bay has no urgency to make this trade now. Could slow play it to draft, waiting for the Jets to buckle. Right now, Rodgers counting $31.6 million on Green Bay cap, goes to $40.3 million if traded before 6-1, June 1st. Huge bonus, not due until week one. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, this will be the long haul.
That's. I feel really bad for the Jets organization because they're going to have to overpay for a
39-year-old quarterback,
man. Yeah. Adam Schefter states Saints and former BYU great, our former Lions running back and former BYU great Jamal Williams have agreed on a 3-year deal. The deal is worth $12 million overall. Williams also joins Taysom Hill. How big of a get is this for Cougar Nation and for the Saints?
Great for Cougar Nation. Jamal just had his best year ever.
Yes.
Right?
Over 1,000 yards. Yeah. And how many touchdowns? 17?
17, something like that. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's great. BYU fans are going to love watching the Saints for a year, even more than they already have.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. BYU baseball, after shutting out rival Utah 7-0 on Tuesday, BYU baseball will take on LMU in a 3-game series on the road March 16th through the 18th to open the Cougars' final year of West Coast Conference play before joining the Big 12 in 2024. The Thursday and Friday games are scheduled for 6 p.m. Pacific time, with Saturday's game for 1 p.m. Pacific time. All three games in the series will be played at George Page Stadium in Los Angeles. The games will be broadcast on BYU radio. BYU women's softball. BYU softball's home opener against Utah has been postponed due to inclement weather and field conditions. Originally scheduled for Wednesday, March 15th at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, the game has been rescheduled for Monday, April 10th at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and will be streamed on the BYU TV app. So there you go. After 12 days off, the BYU softball team also defeated Utah Tech 3-1 on Thursday afternoon at Carl Brooks Field, courtesy of 13 strikeouts by freshman pitcher Kaysen Korth. Both teams finished with 5 hits, but Utah Tech had 1 error and left 6 runners on base. The Cougars will next host Idaho State in a Saturday afternoon doubleheader in their home opener at Gale Miller Field. First pitches are scheduled for 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. Mountain Time. Women's basketball. BYU women's basketball was selected to compete in the 2023 WNIT postseason tournament and is going to be hosting Rice Owls on Friday, March 17th at 7 p.m. in the round of 64. Do you think they make it past the first round?
Yes.
I like it. How far did they go?
Second round.
Second round, that's it. Gymnastics news. BYU women's gymnastics team prepares to battle for the Mountain Rim Gymnastics Conference crown at the 2023 MRGC Championship on Saturday at the America First Event Center in Cedar City, Utah, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. The Cougars will face number 21 Southern Utah, number 35 Boise State, and number 45 Utah State among the four teams. SUU ranks first in the conference, followed by Boise State, BYU, and Utah State. BYU is ranked second in all four events amongst conference foes and ranked number 26 nationally on the uneven bars. Men's and women's track and field. After garnering a combined 13 first-team All-American honors at Indoor Nationals, BYU men's and women's track and field is set to open its outdoor season at the Cardinal Classic in Palo Alto, California on Saturday. And by the way, BYU just signed Alex Garcia Silver to their track and cross-country teams. Out of Coos Bay, Oregon, he was a two-time Oregon cross-country state champion, fifth-place finisher in the Nike Northwest Regionals, and 17th-place finisher in the Nike Nationals. That's right. Congratulations. All right, you want to take men's volleyball, your favorite sport?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize we were going beyond
that. Yeah, we got to go men's volleyball.
There it is. It was just pushed down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
BYU men's volleyball sophomore Teon Taylor was named Defensive Player of the Week by the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. Taylor led the Cougars in blocks with 15 through two matches against number 15 Ohio State. Cougars won both of those. Taylor, the MPFS blocking leader of the year, averaged 1.67 blocks per set while playing in all nine of BYU sets last week. He led all players with eight blocks in the second win, more than half of Ohio State's total team blocks on Saturday. Cougars are off and be playing Pepperdine at home. In fact, all the rest of their matches are at home. They spent almost the entire month of February on the road. And now in March, they get all those home matches.
Nice. Men's tennis. The University of Oregon will be the site for BYU men's tennis matches this weekend. The Cougars, 3-7, 1-0 over West Coast Conference play, will have a neutral site contest against number 40 Texas Tech on Friday before playing number 56 Oregon on Saturday. Both matches will take place at the Oregon Student Tennis Center. Attendance is free. Friday's match begins 4 p.m. Pacific time with Saturday's matchup at 12 p.m. Pacific time. That's our news and notes of the day, always brought to you by Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Any other news and notes that we got to get to?
Just real quick, want to mention Lauren Gustin, 32 rebounds away from setting an NCAA record. So it's important that the Cougars get past that first round, give her an opportunity, because she's averaging 16.
Mm-hmm.
So if she gets 16 or 17 the first game and then plays second game, she's 16 or 17, she could set the NCAA single season record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Last thing, it is March Madness. Chime in on the BYU Hype Train podcast Twitter feed. They put together a build-your-own starting five with $15 draft. BYU March Madness is underway with this particular thing. And they need to – I'm requesting Hunter to amend the roster and add a few more guys to the roster. So I'm going to ask him to do such. I'm going to submit that here momentarily. But we wish you guys well. Appreciate everyone chiming in, tuning in today. Make sure you support our sponsors. Can't do our show without our sponsors. Download the podcast, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio. Give us a rating. Give us a review. And also, as I mentioned, support each and every one of our sponsors. Give them a chance to earn your business. We got Royal Army Brand, Underdog Fantasy, Underdog Fantasy Sports, Ortho Pros of Utah, Wasatch Medical Clinic, Dental Pros of Utah, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, and Big O Tires and American Fork. All right, Double D, any thoughts?
Great show.
Bryce Larson, any final thoughts? Anything? Bueller. All right, Gavin Lee, any thoughts?
Just excited for more spring practice tomorrow and March Madness.
Boom shakalaka. Have a good night. Have a safe night. You've been listening to Cougar Sports.